For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we are working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. And as our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. And we never tire of that quote, because we are seeing this play out in our world today, aren't we?
Truth never gets old, Rebecca.
That is exactly right.
And listeners, we have a fantastic guest. She is a recurring guest on our program, and we are so thankful for that. Her name is Xi Van Fleet. She was born in China, and over 37 years ago, she came true when she was granted a student visa to come to the United States to study. Mm-hmm. And she is speaking out now after many, many years in our country, helping to communicate that she doesn't feel like this is the America she arrived in. And she is fighting so hard to wake up Americans to say that the parallels between what is happening in our culture now and what she experienced in China are running parallel tracks, and it is time to change course. So, mm-hmm. Xi, thank you so much for joining us.
So much for inviting me back.
Oh, we're glad to have you. And yes, we were, I think, was it back in April or May that you were on with us,
Xi? A few months ago.
First time around?
A few months ago.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I thought. And we were very excited to be able to have you back, because you have a big book launch coming up this coming October, I believe. And the book title is Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. And so we're going to talk more about that book later in the show. But let's start out by having you tell us why you feel it's so important for you to have written this book in the first place.
Yes, yes. And to me, you know, I've been living here for 37 years. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, for a long time, I paid no attention to politics. I was just focused on realizing my American dream by mm-hmm. getting a degree, you know, getting a job, buying a house, raise a family. And that's all I was focusing on. And mm-hmm. I thought politics is something that I really don't understand. And I thought, what can go on? This is America. You know, nothing can go wrong.
You and many people live blissfully like that for for many years.
And of course, I started to notice things here and there and for a while, but nothing really made me lose my sleep mm-hmm. until 2020. Mm. Until 2020, when I saw our city being burned.
I know.
And the statue being toppled down, mm-hmm. and the chaos in the city, and then the radical slogans and the terms that I grew up with, such as oppressors and oppressed, and hit me just like a tornado. And and I just, for me and for people like me, we recognized right away mm-hmm. it was culture revolution replayed right here. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got involved, and that's when I went to the school board and delivered that one-minute speech where I compare CRT with the Cultural Revolution. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, people started to, in the media, ask me to be interviewed, and I went to events. Mm-hmm. During the time, I realized so many people have no clue about communism.
Yes.
They've never heard about Cultural Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in that meeting room in the school board, I think more than half of them, probably the first time they heard about the Cultural Revolution. And I realized that is the problem.
Yeah.
And also I realized that's a problem that made intentionally.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was never taught.
All right.
When you never teach the real history, and, you know, the people think about the communism, they think about Cold War, oh, we won the Cold War, it's over. Mm-hmm. So they have no idea when communism appeared in their front door with a different disguise called woke. They have no idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's communism. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I really feel like I need to do more to educate people. And mm-hmm. I think that's the key to winning the war mm-hmm. to save America.
Mm-hmm.
So last year in April, I feel like, you know, age ago, I made this, I really made this huge decision to quit my job. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that there's nothing more important than focus on my activism and by writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
So never dreamed in my life to write a book. Never, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's all God's will. And so I was able to finish the book. And I'm just amazed. And I was able to find a publisher. It is just like everything was planned for me.
Oh,
and
that's great.
It's really not me. It's not what me doing it. It's someone almost like feel like someone made me do it. It gave me goosebumps when I think about it.
Wow.
And now it's almost out. Mm. It's almost out. And took me a year. And so that's, I guess, the story.
Yeah.
But now I can tell you probably a little bit, your listener, about my, you know, my story, where I came from, and all that. You know, I was born in China, in Mao's China.
Yes.
And the Cultural Revolution started, when I was in elementary school, mm-hmm. my first grade.
And do you mind sharing the year, not to date you, but
yes.
I think it's important
yes.
for our listeners to realize how recent this
yes.
actually took
place. It
is how
not
recently
that, you know, I am. Oh, but I'm not that old.
Right.
Experience.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, it was in 1966.
1966.
The Cultural Revolution.
Yeah.
And it lasted for 10 years until his death
wow.
in 1976.
Mm.
So we
not
call
that long ago. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we call it 10-year turmoil for the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just a little girl, you know. And people ask me, do I remember the moment? Yeah, to me, it's overnight. It was just so confusing. It's overnight, and the school was closed. And mm-hmm. I went to school, and on the blackboard, and there was a note from the teacher said there was no school for 3 days, and that lasted for 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. No
yeah.
school for 2 years.
No school for 2 years.
Boy, there's
and
no
then,
similarities whatsoever
wow,
to things
right.
you've experienced in this
yes.
country. It was exactly. just 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks. To
yeah. Exactly. 2 weeks.
Curb.
And they
mm-hmm.
were told 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And because everything was in chaos, mm-hmm. the school administrators were all taken down by the Red Guards. Red Guards were the kids that mm-hmm. were supposedly the soldiers of the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
They were as young as elementary school kids or as old as college kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that doing the work, taking the order from Mao
mm-hmm.
to overthrow the old tradition.
Yeah.
And take down the powers of the authorities. Just mm-hmm. like what happened here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that's a cancel culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of calling it cancel culture, it was called smashing the four oaths.
Okay. Smashing the four oaths?
They called it smashing or destroying or abolition, yeah. Abolition of four oaths.
Abolition.
Yeah. Old, yep. Yeah. Destroying, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
it's, yeah. Destroy old ideas,
uh-huh.
old culture, old custom and old habits. Everything that is old need to be destroyed and need to be smashed. They use the word smash. So that includes statues, Buddhist statues, Christian statues, and all need to be come down. And temples and churches were destroyed. Books were burned. And that sounds familiar. And street names, institution names, even personal names have to be changed to be politically correct.
Wow. Yes, this just is very like, familiar, isn't it?
Eerily familiar. And everything was chaotic. And that was the early stage. Eventually, it turned into violence and it started really killing started. The first killing that started was done by a group of young girls in the middle school. They tortured and beaten, tortured and killed their principal that was in Beijing in 1966. Yeah. After that, it became commonplace all over China.
Unbelievable.
And so, so that was all done in the name of revolution.
I remember that we briefly touched on that last time you were on, Chi, but can you remind me with that first killing done by the middle school girls, they tortured and killed the middle school principal. I believe you mentioned the reason why. Yeah. Would you maybe?
The reason was that Mao caught those people in charge. Basically, everybody, they are reactionaries. So for the school principals, they belong to the newly newly created class called in reactionary intellectual authority.
Okay.
Urge the students to overthrow them and take control of schools. So to the young kids, if you ask people, ask them to overthrow authority, and to them, the first one coming in mind is teachers, right?
Yep.
Teachers were the one authority figure, and the principals. So they were the first group to suffer the violence of the and of the Red Guards. And it was, and the people say, oh, how about police? Well, you know, there is a defund police here, but there, they absolutely dismantled the whole criminal justice system. And the police were told, do not go to, they were not allowed to go to campus where the violence took place initially. And they were told, if the Red Guards hit you, you are not allowed to hit back. You have to support the Red Guards. They are the revolutionaries.
So I want all of our listeners to understand, I'm sure they're picking up on this pattern, but I do want to point it out here, that she does a marvelous job of relating both her personal experience and the history that she lived under China with what we're seeing now. So, I mean, the past 5 minutes, we've touched on nearly three separate things that occurred in the Cultural Revolution in China, and you can see direct correlation and comparison to what's happening in our country. And so when we talk about your book, Chi, this is part of what all of our listeners will get if they follow you on Twitter, if they pre-order your book. And I will say, listeners, it's really easy. You know how I know, because I just did it here on my phone. So you just go to Amazon, you click that pre-order button, and I would highly encourage you to do it. This is this type of thing that we as Americans really need to be aware of. This has all happened before.
And not that long ago.
Not that long ago, exactly.
This is actually post-World War II. You know, people tend to think of, you know, Nazi Germany as being kind of the most recent example of a totalitarian, you know, state of an, you know, of an evil person, you know, wanting to take over the world, basically. But when you consider that this happened with Mao in 1966, it's a much more recent example.
And it's much, much more relevant to us today. And just think about it, the Red Guards. Okay, so the Cultural Revolution was a youth revolution. Mm-hmm. So because Mao weaponized, mobilized and weaponized the kids.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And why he could do it? Because all the kids were from the government schools.
Yes.
They were absolutely indoctrinated. They would blindly follow their great leader, mm-hmm. whatever order, even it means to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on today in America, that mm-hmm. our school were taken away by the Marxists.
Mm-hmm.
What they have been doing in the past decades was to indoctrinate our children.
Mm-hmm.
And those people went to college, get the same thing, and now they're in charge of our institutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened mm-hmm. to America.
I've known even parents themselves, Christian parents, interestingly, whose kids are now very socialist / Marxist in their viewpoints and talk about, you know, the whole concept of white oppression. And I'm not, again, I don't want to go down that path too far because I know that there does still exist racism in this country, but certainly not on the scale that there used to be, and certainly not on the scale that warrants the type of changes that we're seeing in our culture today. It's kind of, you know, it's a means to an end is what it is. And one of the things that you do an excellent job of pointing out, Z, and I'm sure I'm excited to read your book, is the fact that this means to the end, really, that is what we're seeing. I mean, you compared the term woke to Mao's Cultural Revolution. And what people think of as woke, they think of as, you know, something good. Many people do, that we're helping our country by focusing in on wokeness, when in actuality, they're walking right into the same mindset that the Cultural Revolution set up in China, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And part of the woke is a division.
Mm-hmm.
And in China, Mao divided the Chinese people into two classes. One is a red class, another is black class. And I guess you figured what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
The red are the allies of the revolution. The black is mm-hmm. the enemy of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the ones that need to be eradicated. And but the problem is, in the beginning, if you had wealth, if you have land, you were classified as a black class.
Mm-hmm.
And but later, whoever failed to keep in line with the party, and you were condemned, and you were put in the black class. So that there's always a division on the among the people, even though we look alike,
mm-hmm.
and the skin color is the same, but we have political identity. And that's what's the foundation of how CCP run the country,
mm-hmm.
division. Political identity. And that's exactly what the woke is about
mm-hmm.
and what CRT is about. And it's identity.
Mm-hmm.
And why they want the identity is to divide people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
white versus black, gay versus straight. And they can use the identity to indefinitely divide people.
Mm-hmm.
When they divide people, they are the only winners themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They set people against each other. That's what the Cultural Revolution was about. The reason those kids, those girls, after the principal is because they were told the principal belonged to the black class, therefore made them the enemy of the revolution, and therefore they deserve to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that Mao divided the people on simplistic rationales in order to divide people and cause chaos and confusion and where people felt like they had to turn on one another. That doesn't sound familiar to anything that's happening in the United States. I mean, once again,
and
this is not easier.
New.
Yes.
Easier in America.
Yes.
And also because the class did not work well. And that's the classic the way of divide people according to Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bernie Sanders still doing that is still like a 99% versus 1%, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing that. But that does not work very well because the 99%, you can work your way up. And the 1%, if you you know, whatever mismanaged you fold, you can come down to the 99%. Mm-hmm. So that's fluid. So they have to do something more. And that's why they went to race. That mm-hmm. is the easiest way. And now they're going to made up identity. Mm-hmm. Identity that you can just identify yourself as.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It is very interesting how they have taken that and turned it. And when I say they, you know, I always hesitate to use the word they, because who is they? You know, in China, it was Mao. You know, what would you point at here as kind of the unifying entity behind all of this in the U.S. and really across all of the Western nations? Because this isn't just limited to the U.S. I mean, this is happening across Europe as well.
I had this discussion with people all the time. They said, you can't call this a cultural revolution. We don't have Mao. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have Mao.
We have many Maos.
Like Mao. But we have a group of people. And I just, the globalist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Well, yeah. Okay, so on that.
Talk, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
So you guys, I want you to all encourage you. I know I've said this before. You need to follow She on Twitter. She puts, again, she gives you all these snippets, and there's a great snippet that you put forward, a tweet or whatever it's called now. Mm-hmm. It's X. I don't know what we're supposed to call this.
She. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
You retweeted regarding the 14 American cities that have signed a World Economic Pledge, mm-hmm. saying that there are cities here in the United States that are pledging to ban meat, dairy, and private car ownership by the year 2030. And you posted this saying, this is the future that the WEF has planned for all of us. We will mm-hmm. have nothing, not even meat or dairy, but we will be happy. And the cities are Austin.
But we will be happy.
Yeah, but we'll be happy.
We will be happy.
Austin, Austin, Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New Orleans, New York City, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, San Francisco. So, mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. if people think, where is she coming right. up with some of this? Hey, guys, it's yep. right there in yep. front of you.
And I want, yes. I'm so glad you shared that post, Abigail. That's really good. I want she to go back, though, to her statement, original statement. I said, where is this coming from? We don't have a particular Mao, but yet mm-hmm. this is a worldwide movement across all of the Western nations. And what she said is, it is the globalists.
Yes.
So you quoted something from the World Economic Forum.
Yes.
That is kind of the key organization that's driving this whole globalist agenda. But so is the UN. The UN's a big part of it
yes,
as well.
You're right.
Absolutely. And all the major health, world organizations are under the thumb of the globalists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And would you say, this is just a curiosity that I've had, and I don't know if you know the answer, but is President Xi of China a leader amongst those leaders that are driving this globalist agenda, or is he quite separate from it? Do you know?
I actually have this question, and I never got the exact satisfactory answer. I believe that he was used by the globalist because he opened opportunity to make a model, and that's called China model. That is the state capitalism,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what we were told. That is the way to go. Mm-hmm. The ESG and all this is basically modeled after China. Mm-hmm. But I don't think... I think that they have this partnership, but eventually, I believe, I don't know if I'm right or not, but I think eventually in the elite or the globalists will get rid of China.
Shed him from the
yeah.
movement. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
how
That's one of the things that I think is always so interesting is, and you have brought this up, as has Alvin Louie when we've spoken with him. He has roots from China as well. And they talk, both of you have mentioned that the interesting thing about this is the whole idea is, oh, there's a group of people being oppressed and we have to have a revolution to prevent the oppression. But in the end, those people become the oppressors themselves, and they shed and turn on people that helped them. I mean, in your case, many of the youth were sent out into the field, sent out into the countryside once they achieved the work of Mao. So once this gets achieved, if the globalist agenda were successful, which of course we hope it's not, but what happens to all the workers that helped bring about this agenda in the first place?
Yeah, that is why people need to know history. All this played out before in the communist country. Okay, so, you know, like Mao had peasants, you know, because China was pretty much agricultural society in before the 40s. Mm-hmm. So he had all the support of the peasants and promised them free land and all that. And the peasants helped him to win the war. Mm-hmm. And what happened afterwards?
Mm-hmm.
Starvation. Mm-hmm. Up to 50 million Chinese parents died of starvation because of Mao's collective farming and other disastrous policies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not the only part, that's only part of the story. You say, okay, so those are the followers. Mm-hmm. And how about the communists themselves? Well, they are in power. They should enjoy the power. No. Actually, the infight was even more brutal. And during the Cultural Revolution, the number one victim was who? President of China. Mm-hmm. He was considered by Mao his arch enemy, and he persecuted him to death.
Hmm. Interesting.
So,
even though he helped,
he absolutely was part of the system.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he helped. He even helped Mao to achieve Mao's status of basically the god for the Chinese people, but he did not survive that system.
Mm-hmm.
He was persecuted because he dared to say something contrary to Mao. So that system was becoming, I think this is the expression, meat grinder. Mm-hmm. So no one is safe.
Yes, yes.
Not even the globalists, not even AOC.
Yeah.
No, not even those people. they think they were the winners. No,
right.
No one is safe.
Interesting. Well, you know what, Xi, we have come to the end of our time already. And I tell you, the show goes so quickly when we have your wonderful guests like you on. But let's let you plug your book one more time here as we close out the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you say the name of your book and how to get it really quickly?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really on all the major booksellers,
yep.
But like, I guess the easiest one is Amazon. Just
yep.
Search Mao's America Survivor's Warning and my name, or even just search the book title, you should be able to get it.
If you put in Mao's America, it's amazing, and it's very easy. There's an easy button that will allow you to pre-order it. My copy is coming Tuesday, October 31st. So everybody, pick up your phones,
okay.
Get on your Amazon app, and order Mao's America, written by Xi Van Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be excellent. Xi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Eye-opening. And you can listen to this podcast at any of the places where you listen to podcasts, Spotify and iTunes. And you can also see us at SaveTheClassroom.com. Good night.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.